You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, what's up? I'm Captain Dean, and welcome back to another episode. This episode being recorded on location at Spencer's Coffee House, where it's awesome.
Always awesome.
Always awesome.
I spend way too much money here.
I do, too. I don't spend as much as I used to.
Right, right.
But I still spend a lot. But my guest is an amazing bassist and incredible videographer, or however you would word that.
Director.
Director, with 254 Productions.
That's it, man.
Brandon Taylor.
That's me. What's
Welcome
up?
Welcome to the Sound Atlas.
What's up, what's up?
How you doing?
Good, man.
Thanks for meeting me.
Yeah.
And we've talked back and forth a little bit. We finally nailed down a time and a place.
Yeah, I know. We talked about doing this. I think it was back in July.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago because we did a show together
at
Tidballs. And I came up to you and was like, you need to do this podcast.
Right.
So here we are.
Sure. Good
but
times.
Thank you for meeting me here. And I love Spencer's.
Ah, dude, it's great.
Great place to record these at. And if only this podcast had an aroma.
That
People
would be
could
the
smell what
loveliest
we're
aroma
right
ever.
This is the first time I've recorded one of these in the very front.
Oh, really?
Like right by the front door. We are literally sitting by the coffee bar and the front door and everything. And so it's great. It's really cool. It's a change of scenery
for
me.
It's a good time.
But anyway, Brandon, these all start with the wonderful question of where are you from?
I'm from right here in good old BG, man.
Yeah, hometown boy, huh?
Yep.
Great.
Born and raised.
Me too.
Grew up in Rockfield, technically.
Cheers.
Yep.
That's awesome. I lived in Rockfield for a long
time. Oh, did you? Yeah. Nice, nice. Yep.
And so there's not much to go into that from there. You've been here forever.
Well, I did 4 years in the Navy.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that's a story.
From 2009 to 13, I lived in D.C.
Awesome.
So
did you live in Rockfield most of your... Youth.
Not really, actually. Well, I said born and raised, but up until I was 14, and then my mom moved to Barron County, right by the lake,
okay.
Barron River Lake. Of course, I lived with her at the time, so I had to move with her, but I was already a sophomore at Warren Central High School, and I didn't want to change my friends up.
I am too a dragon.
Oh, are you? Nice, yeah. Nice.
I'm half... Raider, half dragon.
Nice.
I like to always tell that story.
Yeah. So I was told mom, I was like, look, man, I am not going to Barron County High. I'd rather just stay here in BG.
Didn't want to be a Trojan, huh?
No. Well, mainly, I didn't really care about the mascots and stuff. I just wanted my friends, you know?
Sports.
For a year and a half, I made that drive back and forth.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. And then I moved in with my grandparents when I was a senior, and they lived close to Rockfield School.
Okay.
So it was a lot easier at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yep. I like that.
Yep.
That's kind of my turf, though. I actually lived in Rockfield for a long time.
Yeah, man.
So what got you into music, and what's the detailed story of your fascination with discovering music and wanting to be a musician?
Honestly, all right, up until sixth grade, I was kind of like trying to find who I was. I mean, I know that goes without being said. Almost everybody does that, but... I thought I was into, like...
They usually do that in their 20s.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I thought I was into, like, country music and rap, and I was trying to wear, like, all, like, the trendy clothing at the time, like American Eagle, Hollister, Air Apostle, all that. Just wasn't me. Well, about that same time...
it wasn't me either.
Yeah, close to the end of sixth grade, early seventh grade, my mom met this dude, and he had a son and a daughter. His son was 2 years older than me, so... At that age, how old was I in sixth grade? Like, how old are you? Like,
12, 13.
Maybe a little younger. Yeah. 11, 12. I don't know. Anyway, of course, I looked up to him automatically. Like, I wanted to be his friend. You know, he was cool. He was, like, in, like, the skater vibe. Like,
right.
He was listening to, like, bands like Nirvana, AFI, the Ramones, a little bit heavier stuff.
Had some good taste.
Yeah. So I was, like, instantly drawn to his, like, charisma, like, behavior, you know?
Right.
And he was really reserved, and he didn't want nothing to do with me. So I had to be, like, that annoying, like, little, like, stepbrother.
Show me your ways.
Exactly, man. And finally, this sounds so cliche, but it's true, man. We shared a room together at the time, and he had AFI's first demo on a CD player. This was before, like, cell phones were really a thing yet. And I was like, what are you listening to, man? And he was like, here, check it out. And he gave me his Walkman. And it was their first demo, and hearing that just spawned, like, all these thoughts and creative ideas, and, yeah, man, that's what got me into the rock and roll spirit, I guess.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm not too familiar with AFI. I mean, but I know who it is. I know enough about them, but I was too old by that point. Yeah. I think that I was. It was a little bit. I don't know. Generation wise, it was one of those things.
Here, check this out. That is what opened my. This sounds kind of lame, but my rock and roll spirit. And I guess I've never even said that before, but that's just what I'm trying to explain. I guess
it's been awakened.
Yeah. Whenever I heard that, I started exploring like all different catalogs of rock, and I automatically went back to like AC/DC and like the 70s because like my mom had like an entire catalog of that era of music, right? So I was like digging through all of her rock and roll CDs and tapes. And the two that I remember the most are Best of the 70s. It was like a bunch of like rock hits. I remember like one was Cat Scratch Fever.
Oh, like a greatest hits of the decade. Maybe it was the 70s.
Maybe it was the 80s. I can't remember. I just remember it was
Freedom
green.
Rock.
Yeah, I don't know. And it had some Foreigner hits on there.
Right.
And
so like an arena rock kind of radio. Yeah. Hits of the day thing.
Exactly. Okay. But yeah, listening to that and AC/DC's live double disc album. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Donington, I think it was.
Yep. Well, they had a few, but the Donington one was a big deal. It was well recorded. Yeah. It was a
I remember
great
the packaging
sound.
Was black, had Angus on the front.
Yep.
And then when you opened it up on the insert or the back, it was the... Like the Rosie blow up doll.
Oh, that's right.
So
that was definitely the Donington show.
So it was kind of weird because Drake was that kid's name, by the way. He showed me like this kind of punk rock scene, but it was cool. But also, I was like, I wonder what my mom's into when it comes to rock, because I was just exploring things, you know. And she had all those old school tapes, and so it went from like the 70s and 80s arena rock, and then I got into. The Metallicas, of course, Alice in Chains, kind of got in that grunge rock era, and it went to like heavier stuff. And then after about a year of that, it went to like the Panteras, the Lamb of God, the Slipknots.
But
you know.
I like all of that too.
Right.
And I've always been able to just look at it as a whole.
Yeah.
Even though you can break it down and section it out. But musically, I think a lot of musicians kind of look at that from just. An all-around package deal of good music, and it all kind of makes sense to you and has meaning.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
So I get that.
Sure,
I'm relatable to it.
Yeah, no, it was
the merger of like punk and hard rock and heavy metal. Like to me, it's like the musicians, like Steve Harris of Iron Maiden, hates punk rock.
Really,
despises it. Like you, it's funny to listen to interviews of him. He absolutely shits on it.
I never got into Iron Maiden.
Fucking hates it, dude. But it's like, but I love the Ramones and I love Iron Maiden. Right. Why can't you look at it like that?
That's funny, man.
But that's just the way I looked at things. And a lot of people I grew up with looked at it like that. So I just kind of learned that music was music and there's good and there's bad.
Right.
And there's, you know, the stuff the labels create and all that sellable, marketable stuff, you know.
Speaking of the Ramones, I think my favorite Ramones song is... My Brain is Hanging Upside Down. That's such a good song.
It's a good song.
It's got such good melody in it, dude.
I listened to Acid Eaters the other day. I've had it. I don't really listen to that record very much. I put it on.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is kind of an odd record.
Yeah.
Do you like that one?
Truth be told, I don't know a lot of their catalog. Yeah. I just know like...
There's a lot of cover songs on Acid Eaters, and it's like, strange.
I know their hits, and then I know like a few like B-sides.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's some good ones.
Yeah. But yeah, man, those like six or seven bands I named just a few minutes ago, that's honestly been my main catalog even to this date.
Oh, no.
Like, I mean, I've branched out quite a bit.
But
those are always
100%
like,
with you.
Like, I always resort back to them, man. There's just something about that era that will like never die. And like, it always like...
It's solid.
Yeah, it's solid.
It was like lightning in a bottle stuff, you know? It's like... It's a good thing that to be alive during the time that these bands kind of exist. I don't well, maybe not in your case, but the Ramones were still touring when I was like in my early 20s.
Oh, that's cool, man.
So it's like I just caught pieces of the end of some of those 70s bands.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
But no, that's totally cool.
Nice.
Did that lead you in the direction of wanting to play
Yes, Drake, the stepbrother, I've referred to a couple times now.
So what's the...
He played guitar.
Okay, great.
And so that he was...
right there in the house.
He was pretty good. Yeah. I was like, okay, I like what you're doing. Well, for whatever reason, I wanted to play drums. So for Christmas, like it was that same year, I asked my mom for a drum set. She was cool enough. She bought me one.
No kidding.
Yeah, dude.
That's the first time I've ever heard someone say that.
Yeah, dude. It was a Tama five-piece. Yeah. It was pretty nice, actually, man. The kick, I remember, sounded really damn good.
Yeah.
Everything else was kind of just mediocre. But
let's see. A Tama five-piece new?
It was used for Kentucky Music. It was silver.
It was probably the Swing Star.
Uh-huh.
Or what's the other one?
A Rockstar?
Yeah, Rockstar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Before Rockstar, they had the Swing Star, okay, which was like the 80s model.
Sure.
They're all relatable to the Pearl Export kit. Everybody thinks of Pearl Export as the good but beginner level.
Right, right.
The Tama Rockstar was that equivalent.
Gotcha. But yeah, so I played drums for like 6-8 months. And at the time, I was just started jamming with a friend from home, and he also played drums, and he was way better than me. And I was like, "Shit, this sucks." Because like we would meet up at school, and I would like show him like Musician's Friends catalogs of all the stuff I was gonna get. You know, not really, but it was just cool to show it off, you know. And you know, and then I realized I was like, "Man, I'm just trying to compete with this guy who's always gonna be better than me at drums," and What am I really doing? And so the next Christmas, I think, or maybe it was my birthday, I can't remember, I asked my mom for a bass guitar.
Wow.
And she bought me a First Act series from Walmart. Had like the crappy little 8-inch combo amp.
It was a lot of people got started on that.
Yeah, dude.
And it's a good thing they did because it was good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a decent price.
It was like $100.
Walmart and buy a bass guitar.
I think it was like $120 or maybe it's $119.99.
I mean, you know, it's like cheaper than the Fender Squire.
Exactly.
But still, it's like something for a beginner, never have ever played
parents,
bass guitar.
Yeah.
What a great way to start.
And my mom was like, I remember when she got it, she was like, "Now, this isn't the nicest model, but if you show me that you want to play and you play for another year or two,
graduate,
then we might think of something a little nicer." And I was like, cool. And sure as shit, man, I played the hell out of it. My friend and I, we'd go upstairs and we would rock out, playing like little jams together and stuff. And yeah, man, that's how that all kind of got started.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So you didn't ever anticipate on being a guitar player?
No, man, not at all, honestly.
I mean, I'm assuming you had one in the house, you probably noodled on it.
Yeah, but I think it was one of those things. Drake, the stepbrother, ex-stepbrother now, he's long gone, but anyway, he was really good.
Yeah.
And it was like kind of the same deal with the drummer. Like, he was also really good. And I was like, man, I got to find something
You had a good guitar player in your life. You had a good drummer in your life.
And I felt
you
a little overshadowed.
For middle ground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was like, man. And at that time, I was watching a lot of music videos on, like, this is when Fuse and VH1 Classic were still a thing.
Man, I miss those days,
dude. Dude, I do, man.
Like, I'm an MTV generation, and I miss that.
Yeah,
but
dude,
then I had these other options later on in life,
exactly,
and they're all gone too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, what? Why can't we have music videos?
My mom, she was cool enough to. This is before like YouTube, obviously, and everything. And she bought me a Metallica. This was like in 2005, maybe six, maybe. She bought me a Metallica DVD set that had all their music videos on it.
Oh, okay. I remember that.
Yeah. And so, like, I watched them all. And, you know, seeing, like, Jason Newsted rock that shit and, you know, and then Robert Trujillo, of course. Even though Trujillo didn't
really... Yeah, there's, like, no music videos, directed music videos of Cliff.
Nope.
Everything was live. Which, you know, if you get Cliff them all, you get full Cliff.
Which I have.
Which is the majority of Ride the Lightning.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of the first three albums. But yeah, a lot of Master of Puppets.
But the audio in that is real wonky at times, man. Like, you could tell, like, some of
it's
good.
The Day on the Green footage, like the For Whom the Bell Tolls. Like,
that was solid.
I mean, the camera was right there in front of Cliff.
Yeah.
So I watched that.
Yeah.
Thousands of times.
But
when
see,
I was
Newsted
a kid.
Was more of my influence.
Right.
Jason Newsted and Rex Brown of Pantera, hands down, even to today.
Good. Like, that was one of my questions.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, and they're long gone in the scene, of course. Like, I mean, Newsted's created that, like, Newsted project a few years ago. But
well, now that you say that, though, it makes sense because you do play with a pick.
Right.
And you are pretty solid on four strings. I've never seen you hold a five string or anything.
I had one, but I sold it because I wanted to buy another four string.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
But that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
To name those two as your
and
biggest
I think
influence.
Like they just not only were they in like the two biggest bands of the 90s, they were also, in my opinion, of course, had the biggest mojo as far as bass playing.
Heavy.
Like they just looked cool, man. I don't care what they were doing, they looked cool.
Really intense. Yeah. Like Jason, even though some of the Metallica songs in the later years with Jason got more tame in tone and whatnot, more overproduced, I guess.
Right.
He was still a dominant, intense force of that band. Like he really put teeth and grit into stuff.
Absolutely,
you know?
Man. Like I still, as much as I love Metallica today, and I still like, I mean, they just did a huge European tour, and I still watch all that live footage from that because it sounds so good, man. These guys are in their like their mid 50s, you know, still sounding like they're kings, you know. But every time I see Rob, I just like, I cringe a little, man, because I'm like, God, if Jason was there, it would just be better. And I'm sorry to say that, man.
No, I understand because I'm a hardcore fan too, and I grew up in
Jason
the
is that
80s,
live,
you know?
Like. You know, just mojo in your face, like headbanging
well,
with the crowd.
Well, trust me,
like,
I loved Master of Puppets. I loved Ride the Lightning.
Yeah.
But when Garage Days came out with Jason, that was a life-changing record for me.
Dude.
And I was, I mean, I was in sixth grade when that record came out.
That's cool, man.
And we bought it, and I swear I listened to that over and over again because I didn't know Killing Joke.
Yep.
Like, I didn't know those bands. I knew the Misfit cover because I'm a huge Misfits fan. But they did these songs from, like, Diamond Head.
What's the
all
one
the,
by the... it's called The Prince.
God,
I loved that one. It had that little bass, little line.
See, I'm terrible when people throw titles at me. But they were doing, like, covers of those bands that they grew up on of the British heavy metal.
Yes.
And I didn't know any of them. Mm-hmm. But then I later on heard those versions of the original band. And I was like, oh, Metallica just destroyed that song.
Yeah,
like,
it sounds sick.
But like, that was Jason's introduction to the band and to the world.
So that was released before Justice?
Oh, yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because it came out in 87.
Dude, that's killer, man.
Yeah, Justice came out in 88? Late 90, or 88. And the summer of 88, before Justice came out, they did a Monsters of Rock tour across America
with Van Halen
and stuff.
Oh, my God.
And that was Jason. Like, Jason was on the tip end of Master to finish out the Master of Puppets
stuff. They did it in Japan, right?
Like,
the first shows
Japan
were in
stuff.
Japan, yeah.
But when they came back to the States, they got reacquainted with him. They made that EP.
Right.
And then they went out and did a summer tour while recording.
Wasn't it like
Justice for All?
Van Halen, Metallica,
Scorpions, Dokken.
Yep.
Kingdom Come.
I don't know who Kingdom Come is. I heard Dokken was after Metallica? Or was that true?
Yeah, it was Kingdom Come first, because they were brand new.
Yeah.
Metallica was the second band.
God, I destroyed
everybody.
But dude,
you gotta understand, like, a lot of people didn't know who they were. Right. They had no music videos.
They weren't on the radio.
Thrash metal was
still
very, very, very underground.
Right.
And so Metallica was kind of really the first band to explode. And I mean, I remember it because I was a big reader of like Metal Edge and Hit Parader. Like, I kept up with that
stuff. Yeah, it's cool, man.
And golly, it changed everything. Because when I first heard Anthrax, and when we first discovered Jason, and we was like, oh, he was in this band called Flotsam and Jetsam.
Right.
We all rushed out and bought the Flotsam and Jetsam record that he played on.
That's cool.
And it was like, oh my God, who's this band? Like, we discovered bands because of these guys.
Dope.
Testament and, you know, Metal Church. A lot of that stuff came. Kirk was in Exodus.
Yeah, right.
We didn't know anything about Exodus. So a lot of that just domino, just like what you were saying. You discover one band, and then all the dominoes start to fall.
Right.
And you just discover one thing after another because of either connections or influences upon the musician that you're into.
I think that's probably one of the most exciting things for as a music listener is when you find, like, a band that helps you discover a new band.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for me, I mean, and millions of other people probably, but, like, the first grunge era record I heard was, I believe, Alice in Chains. And it was the one, I didn't know shit about them. So when I went to, this was I would buy all my CDs at FYE, and this is when they still had the headphones.
Oh, yeah.
And you could, like, scan the CD and hit the... I thought that was so cool, man.
It was cool. It was great, because and, that helped me buy a lot of records.
Yeah, dude, I miss that. Like, even though it's, like, totally useless now, but back then it was awesome.
Now you just pull it up on YouTube listen real quick and be like, oh, that's pretty cool.
But the first Alice in Chains record I bought was the one, I think it was self-titled. It had the three-legged dog.
Yeah, golly, man, that was the first time.
I know, right?
But, well, because you're a whole nother generation.
Exactly. So I didn't know what the hell I was buying.
Yeah.
So then once I found that, there was a couple good songs on there.
Frogs is a great song.
Yeah, God Am, Heaven and Hell, or was it Heaven Nor Hell? I can't remember.
Heaven Beside You, I think.
Heaven Beside
That's
You.
That's on that
Thank
one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Dio, I guess, or Heaven and Hell. I don't know.
Yeah, the Black Sabbath.
Right. Anyway, so when I heard that, I was like, I want to buy more Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
So then I got Dirt, and that was like, holy shit.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That's the best one. And then after...
I still to this day think... Dirt. I loved Facelift, and I saw them on the Facelift tour.
Oh, man, yeah.
But, like, I thought...
You saw them on the Facelift tour?
I did.
You lucky bastard.
Dude, I'm old.
That's probably a sick show, bro.
I saw Alice in Chains open for Van Halen in 1991.
Dude. Was that when Van Halen had Pound Cake?
Yeah.
Was that?
But, like, Facelift was out. It was fairly... It was new to us. I think it had been out for maybe almost a year at that point. But when I saw them on that tour, Sap... had just come out.
It was the 4-song EP?
Yeah.
Or 5-song EP?
4-song.
Yeah.
And so I got to see them in that era.
Yeah.
And then I saw them about a year or two later after Dirt had come out.
Sick.
And that was incredible. And Inez was in the band at that point.
Did you ever see Pantera?
I did.
Oh, man. Twice. I don't even want to talk about it, dude. Like, I'm not... Okay, I'm a huge Pantera fan, but like... I don't listen to him much anymore, just truth be told. But in high school, man...
It makes you drive in, like, road rage.
Yeah, that band,
I don't listen to Pantera or Rage Against the Machine when I'm driving.
Have you seen Rage?
Oh, yeah. Like,
man.
5 times. I saw Rage Against the Machine on every album.
Oh, my
tour.
God.
I saw
How
the
crazy
first
were
tour,
those
the second
okay,
tour.
Okay, let's talk. Who had the crazier show, Rage or Pantera? Like, crowd-wise.
Crowd-wise, definitely Pantera.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's
Dude, I left 328... after a Pantera show. It was Pantera and White Zombie. Think about that.
God, that's sick.
And there was a pair of scissors on the floor.
Was that when Astro Creep came out? Or
oh, no. This was...
94?
No, Vulgar Display of Power.
Oh, no, I meant White Zombie's record.
That would have been the...
Like Sex Exorcist, though?
Yeah. The big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they opened for Pantera.
Oh,
so they
sick.
Were like the new band.
So Pantera, you said they were a pair of scissors. What...
Oh, there was a fucking huge mosh pit. It was crazy. And when we were clearing out of the venue, there was a fucking pair of scissors laying in the
That's
floor.
That's terrifying.
I'm like, God.
Jeez, man.
I don't mosh.
How good do they sound, man?
It was incredible.
Oh, my God.
Dude. I mean, but I was young, and...
I wish I had those memories. Like, I would honestly
give
my left
I'm lucky
nut.
Because I got to... I think when I meet people that were 18, 20 years old in the 70s, and they start telling me stories about, oh, I saw Led Zeppelin, I saw Van Halen, I saw this and that. And then people like you meet me, and they're like, who did you see?
Right,
and
it's cool,
I saw Alice in Chains, and I saw Tool, and I saw I can go on and on about all the great stuff I got to see of new stuff, like the movement of the era.
See, yeah, you know, in my generation, like, you know, I'm 28 now, of course. There hasn't really been, like, a... Like,
no.
I mean, nothing.
There's really been nothing since 2000, I would say 5.
Yeah.
Nothing major.
I mean,
movement-wise. I mean, there's been a lot of great shit.
Nothing
White Stripes.
That I'm into. Like, I mean, like.
But even they were, like, late 90s, you know?
Yeah.
Things really just aren't what they once were, I think, because the music industry has changed.
Yeah.
But the. It's so accessible now.
It is, yeah.
It's not like you're discovering things that nobody else knows about.
Right.
Like, the world hears about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, all
exactly.
at once.
Right.
And it's weird, but, man, I'm so glad I got to... I grew up in the time I did, even though I still envy the guys that I meet that are go, oh, I saw Hendrix.
Right.
I saw Zeppelin.
Right.
I saw Cream. I saw all this great stuff. I'm like, well... I saw Rage. I saw Tool on the second stage for Undertow. Like, nobody knew who they were.
That's so cool, bro.
Like, Sober wasn't barely on MTV at that point.
That's so cool, bro.
It's great.
I just saw them back over the summer in Louisville.
What you guys are seeing now is, like, it's nothing like what I saw. No. I mean, I just saw four dudes on stage.
No production.
You all know nothing.
Yeah,
no light
amps.
Show, no nothing. Yeah. It was just a raw performance.
That's
and the same
sick.
With Rage, the first album. It was all Lollapalooza. It was great.
God, it was good stuff. Sick, man.
I could tell you stories for days.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that, yeah.
But the best Pantera show I think I saw was, as far as sound quality and comfort, was at Starwood Amphitheater. It was Prong and Pantera on the Far Beyond Driven tour.
Oh, man.
And my God, that was life-changing stuff. Even though I'd seen them, it's like that one was different.
Oh, my God.
Like, they were tight, which they always musically were tight. But, I mean, physically, sound-wise, it was top-notch stuff.
That's awesome, man. Like,
and
that
to hear the songs of all three albums.
Yeah.
Performed live.
Their best three albums.
I think so.
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody agrees for the most part.
It was great.
Dude, that is cool, man. Super cool.
That was really close, too. So
you know what I'm saying?
Dimebag's playing the lightning bolt Dean with the Kiss sticker. Like, I can physically see it with my own. Like, it wasn't that far away. Like, I can't. I think if I was to properly guess, I would say I was at least 10th row or something in that vicinity.
That's cool, man.
It was cool. Really awesome.
That's sick. Damn.
But enough about me.
Yeah, dude. Well, yeah, I know. We've been talking about sharing stories.
You're 28. That's fascinating. You make me feel old.
Ha! Shit. Hell, I'll be 29 in April, man.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so old.
It is, man. It's scary.
Hold on to that two, man. It's awesome. And when you get to the threes, enjoy the threes.
Yeah, dude.
Because I'm almost 43. But it ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Just a number.
It is, man. It is.
But I am lucky I got to see a lot of cool stuff. But yes. Growing up, for you, you're discovering a lot of things that had already kind of come and went, or were on their eighth album at that point,
exactly.
Or whatever, or he had member changes. So a lot of that music you'd already talked about influenced you, and you go from tinkering on drums to going to bass.
Right.
Tell the story now of what happened when you proved to your mom, I got this, I'm good, right. I'm enjoying it, I want to do this. You go graduate from the first act bass to right. What?
The next guitar, my mom didn't buy it for me, actually.
You were working by then, right?
Well, no, almost. I had worked for my grandfather on my mom's side mm-hmm. on his farm.
Okay.
Just like summer work,
yep.
Just doing like random bullshit, man. I was weed eating fence rows, throwing square barrels of hay off the trailer into the barn, you know, feeding cattle.
Kentucky life.
Yeah, that stuff, yeah. And he didn't pay me. I mean, he was okay at paying me, but he paid me very, not too generous.
He paid you with a learning
exactly.
experience.
But he gave me just enough. I think I had like $400,
yeah.
And the guitar I wanted was $450, so
nice.
Mom paid that extra $50.
There you go.
And it was a, you ever heard of Traben? It's kind of an off. Like, I think the only sponsored artist they have is Bootsy Collins.
Oh.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, I do know what that is.
It was a really unique looking, I can't even describe the wood to you, honestly, man. But it's just really funky looking guitar.
Funky wood.
Yeah, yeah.
Bootsy
then,
wood.
Let's, yeah, yeah.
It was a Bootsy tree.
And then I got the next one I got was the Warwick 5-string.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, I got that from Kentucky Music, and I worked for that one, too, and saved. That one was $750.
Mm.
So it was a little bit pricier,
yeah.
Which is kind of funny. So I bought it from them in 2007 or 8, and I just sold it back to them last year.
For half the price.
Like not even that much. I just never played it, man.
And I get it.
When I sold it to them, it gave me just enough money to buy a Fender P bass.
Yeah.
And so that's what I play now.
Right.
And I got a Gibson, too.
I high-five you
yep.
and fist bump because you, too, like the Fender P.
Yeah, dude. I just
and you had
it,
a white one, which yep. is what I'm hardcore into.
Sure.
My favorite one, I've got three, and they're all white. Yep. I've painted them all.
Yeah, I see all your pictures you post on
I had the white one with the number three for a long time. I was like, that's my signature bass.
That's hilarious.
But then I've got another one with this incredible like mirror pick guard.
No, that one's really
I've
cool, man.
That one up. Like, yeah. I love white P basses for some reason. Because I think it reflects back to D.D. Ramone. He always had a white Fender P with a black pickguard.
That's true, yep.
And I went through this whole phase of like trying to figure out what it was about the P bass that I like. Because so many people I know like the jazz bass. And I didn't like the body shape, and I thought they felt funny while I was playing them. They're almost angle,
right.
And the P you can hold straight forward. Sure. Kind of. I don't know. I'm a drummer. Like, I don't really know what I'm talking about. But I enjoy playing those basses. They're comfortable to me.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you discovered the same thing.
Well, I avoided them for the longest time because I thought they were too...
Yeah, I was going to say, you were playing like an Explorer or something,
weren't
you?
I had a Thunderbird.
Thunderbird.
Epiphone. It was the Pro 4 model. Mm. I was always just trying to be different, I guess, because everybody, for the most part, has for like
name
Fender.
Of the game.
Exactly. And then one day I was like, you know, man, there's a reason motherfuckers buy and play Fender.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to
get one. Especially basses. I mean, you don't ever see anybody go, oh, the Gibson Les Paul bass is the
greatest. Yeah.
No, they're not. Everybody in Gibson world plays the SG or EBO or whatever it is.
I'm
so good, I don't even know what they're called. EB3, is that right?
I don't know, honestly.
That's amazing.
Two
bass players don't know what the Gibson SG is.
I don't even care,
I think it's
honestly.
An SG. It's just shaped like an SG. It looks like a fucking SG. It's
right.
An SG.
But I got the Fender P, and it was it's a Mexican model. But I've upgraded it. I bought a Seymour Duncan quarter pounders.
Right.
Threw them in there. Or had my buddy at Nathan Fielder Guitar Services throw
in. Shout out to Nathan.
Yeah, no, he's cool, man. And he also put a custom bridge on it. It's a Babix bridge. A lot more weight to it. A little bit more sustained action I got from it. And then he also set it up for me. And it's a killer guitar. So that axe, and then my newest axe, which I'm forever in love with and I will never give it up. It's a 77 model Gibson RD.
Really?
I got it off Zach Lindsay and the Josephines.
Oh, okay.
He was selling it, and I talked him into a price and setting up like kind of a payment system for him. Got him paid off, and or soon to be paid off, actually. And yeah, man, it's a sick guitar. So
hey, Zach. You need to do your podcast episode. I've been bugging him for like 6 months at this point.
Yeah, I know, right?
He'll hear this.
Yeah, maybe. So, but yeah, it's sick, man. It's such a beautiful instrument. So
here I am talking shit about Gibson basses, and yet you go out
and
get one.
It's cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like when it comes to tracking, like
I'm
play
kidding.
The Fender
P. I seriously have never heard anybody go, "Oh, I swear by this bass or this brand," and it's not even just Gibson, it's like everything.
Right.
Like even the Warwick stuff and Rickenbacker stuff, it's like it's a Warwick, it's a Rick. They all have their thing, but I would say easily 90% of the bass playing population seems to be holding a Fender.
Especially when it comes to tracking.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of videos and like read forums and threads on tracking. With the guitars, mm-hmm. and when it comes to bass, man, you slap a new set of strings on a Fender P or a Fender Jazz and go to work, it will not let you down.
Yep. I saw mostly in Nashville studios those Fenders.
But when it comes to playing live, I whip out the Gibson because I think it's got more mojo than RD body style. It's so
it's
unique. It's all black. I'm sick.
I love it.
Yep.
So go back a little bit before... where you are today.
Yep.
You graduate from beginning bass to good bass.
Right.
You earned it. You paid for it mostly, like you said, with your own money.
Sure.
When did you start playing with bands and like musicians, and what was the first thing you got into?
In high school, my friend and I, Anthony, and our friend at the time, Jacob Slammons, we formed a band called In Vain. We were an instrumental band. We'd never found a singer. We tried. It just never worked out.
They're hard to find.
They are, man. So we just did like instrumental songs, and we rehearsed 2 to 3 times a week from sophomore, junior, and senior year of high school.
That's what I miss about being in high school.
Yeah, like we had all this time, man, to rock
exactly.
out. And our big hoorah, Jacob only played with us for like a year and a half, and then we met Ryan Murphy. Mm. Ryan's actually helped me with a lot of 254 production videos.
Okay.
But anyways, he was playing guitar at the time, so we found him. So our big hoorah at the gym at Central. It was our 2009. It wasn't a pep rally. It was a rally for like end of year graduation, like academic achievements, and everybody was in like the gym, all 1,000 kids or whatever, and they had like entertainment and stuff, and we were one of the entertainment acts.
Nice.
So like halfway through it, they killed all the lights, and we were already set up, of course, and we did a cover of Disturbed's Down with the Sickness.
Really?
Yeah, instrumental cover, dude. And it actually went over really well. Like, there's a live video of it on YouTube.
That's cool.
And we actually did an instrumental cover of that song, no vocals. And today it's still up, and it has, I believe, 500,000 views. I'm not even shitting you. It's pretty cool, man.
That's crazy.
And, like, there is a ton of comments. Like, people still comment on that video.
Yeah.
I guess it's just a really...
I think it's, isn't it something about when you search something, it usually pops up depending on how many views it's had?
Yeah,
or something.
Sure. And it's gotten so many. I think it just, the reason why I got so many, this was back in MySpace era.
Oh, yeah. The good old days.
Whenever we posted that to our MySpace, mm-hmm. and on YouTube, because YouTube was brand new at the time.
Right.
The official Disturbed fan page found that video and shared it.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's how it got so many like views, right. So quickly. And then from there, it just kind of kept rolling.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was
not a bad way to kick off your
first
band music career kind of thing.
Sure. So by that point, we played that big show, and that was the last show we did as In Vain.
Weird.
Only show, honestly, man.
It's so odd.
Yeah. Anyways,
it's like,
well, at that time,
there's nowhere to go but down. So.
Right. We did a house show after graduation for like maybe 50 of our classmates, and that was really fun. There's actually footage of that on YouTube as well. But
you're that generation, though. You guys got all kinds of shit on YouTube.
Yeah.
Then we played 1,000 shows, and nobody took a picture.
Well, then we kind of parted ways. Anthony went to Western, Ryan went to UK, and then I went to the Navy, of course.
Interesting.
So go ahead.
Yeah, while you were in the Navy, I mean, when all that happened, obviously out of high school, you signed up and went in? Because I know a lot of people that did that, too.
Yeah, I just wanted to do it, man, because during our senior year, I had this big dream to play music, but it was almost, it was weird, man. Like, I was like, man, I just don't think it's the time for me. And for whatever reason, everybody was talking about college and finances and student aid and student loans. And I was like, I did not do good enough in high school to get a lot of scholarships.
Right.
And I was like, I don't not want to go to college. I want to go. I want to get a degree. But I refuse to be in debt,
right.
40, 50, 60 grand.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm going to go to the fucking Navy.
There you go.
They'll pay for it. And I did.
So
and
what did you do? What did you sign up to do?
I was a canine handler.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so I
would say that's better than a bomb detective or...
EOD tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys get paid a lot more.
Well, I'm sure they
but
do.
But their job is a lot more risky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you didn't want to be a SEAL or...
Too hard,
fly
man.
Helicopters and all that stuff.
The mentality for that... My depth perception and my eyes were fucked, so I couldn't have any jobs when it came to flight.
Yeah, they really do kind of like pick the best human beings there are.
But yeah, being a canine handler was great, man. I've lived and worked in D.C., so like, you know, political arena of the world, essentially.
Yeah, but at least you weren't out of the country, right?
No, I never did.
I mean, good and bad, depending on what part of the country world you would have gone to.
Yeah, man, we got to travel with the Secret Service a lot, NCIS teams. We'd go to Florida, Chicago, Tampa in Florida, Chicago, Illinois, New York a ton, which was great, Pennsylvania a couple times, Jersey.
So wait a minute. Are you saying that you were a dog, like, trainer and a naval... Like, you were part of, like, sniffing out arenas for political events?
Yes.
Okay.
So...
Because I was starting to put the pieces together.
Right. So, yeah, like, basically, long story short, the Secret Service, they send out requests
right.
to Like, they have their own canine teams.
Yeah, but they use all the different branches
of the military because they're more accessible and they have a lot larger
quantity.
And
that's their job.
Exactly, yeah. So
you're the grunts that come in and do it first,
dude,
and then
we
the big
it,
dogs
though,
come in and do it later.
So they would send out requests to kennels. They would always send them to our kennels because we were right there close to D.C.,
of course.
And they would say, like, hey, we need two canine explosive support teams to travel to New York City with Vice President Biden or in support of Vice President Biden. There's
good Lord, man. I mean, it sounds routine, but that had to be knowing what has happened on our soil.
Yeah.
You probably feel safe.
Yeah.
But.
Let me tell you, the Secret Service don't fuck around.
No. I've seen three presidents.
Yeah.
I know exactly what it. I've observed the Secret Service in the building when I'm in the room. Right. And I've seen Reagan and Clinton. And who else did I see?
Bush.
No, it wasn't
Obama.
Bush. No, it wasn't Obama. I'm trying to think who it was. I don't know. I know I've seen Reagan and Clinton, but there was somebody else.
But anyways, they...
that's intense stuff.
Yeah, man, we'd just travel with them, and, like, we would always search before the foreign dignitary or VP or POTUS would arrive. Just search.
But were you just prior, or were you there during... Were you part of it until it was all
said and done? Like, all right, let me give you one small example. Say Biden had a charity dinner in Midtown Manhattan, and we would go search the hotel he was staying at. We would search the surrounding areas that he was staying at. We would search the route because NYPD would shut that route down, like no movement whatsoever. When his plane came in, search the runways, search everything, essentially, man.
You were just holding the leash. It's not like you were detecting this.
The dog is...
The dog told you.
And it makes
I smell something.
The dog's the rock star, but like we get all the benefits
of
the rock star.
Of course.
It's pretty cool, man.
That must be cool, though, because I'm a huge dog lover. I've got a beautiful blue heeler at home right now. Super smart.
Yeah.
You know, but just... It's a playful dog. But my I have friends that have, like, German Shepherds, and at where I work, we work with this guy that does training on what are the German Shepherds referred to? I can't remember it now. But it's got a name, and it's fascinating when he'll bring in, like, puppies and stuff that he's, like, this one's 3 weeks in.
That's cool, man.
Training. Like, this guy teaches these things.
Sure.
How to be stealth, absolute, you know, James Bond level
dogs,
you know.
They can be trained extreme levels of obedience. It's pretty cool.
Is it Maloney's?
Belgian Malinois?
Yeah, something like that.
That's a breed, Belgian Malinois.
That's a breed.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking it was like a title for him or something. Mm-mm. See how much I know.
Mm-hmm.
I did not go in the Navy.
So
you do that for what?
4 years.
4 years. Yep. So you just did the actual term of...
Yep, I just wanted to do four and get out.
Yeah. You didn't want to be a career man.
Nah, it was too predictable. I knew that I could see my future. I was going to be a first-class petty officer, a chief petty officer, a senior chief. I was like, I don't want to do that shit. Like, it's a good life, and you get a hell of a retirement check.
Oh, of course.
And you get all those benefits, which is great.
But you still wanted to rock and roll.
Exactly, man.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so
That's a hell of a thing to decide.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to do this for fun.
Yeah. So I was still playing bass in the Navy.
Yeah.
Just to work on my chops.
Of course.
I was still writing riffs. I would tab them all out on notebooks.
But you didn't start a band in D.C. and play
Not
out when
time,
you were free?
Dude.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
Time for that.
I got no time.
So I came back home, and the friend that I had in high school who played drums, Anthony, we reconnected. Ryan and I. So In Vain essentially reconnected. But we weren't under the name In Vain anymore. We were trying to find a new name.
Okay.
So we were mainly rehearsing and like writing riffs and stuff. Well, then Ryan wanted to do his own thing, which was fine. So then we found another guitar player. His name was Jay Willis.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually still local in the scene here. So we got together. That was in fall of 2015.
That was my next question.
Yep.
When did this happen?
Right. So,
which I was going to say, it wasn't that long ago.
No, I mean,
because when you all formed the band, and started playing out, it was very well advertised. And you got hooked up with a lot of bands that were very active.
Yeah, Kiss Kiss Bang, they had a pretty decent following at the time. That was in 20.
Well, they were kind of new too at the
time. Right, they were new, but they had
The guys had already
a foundation.
Like feet in the But then I've seen you on the bill with like Despite the Fallen and a lot of the heavier bands, and there was just a lot of like opportunities that came your way.
We did that song with Trevor Smith. Did you ever hear that one? There's Hope for You and Hope for Me.
I'm pretty sure.
The music video was great. Ryan actually shot that.
So you come out of the Navy back home and just immediately reconnected with some old friends and started
a band.
Well,
we had kept in like contact.
Well, yeah, but I mean, as far as like being...
We kind of knew what we wanted.
I'm done. I'm not in the Navy anymore.
Let's rock.
I'm going to get a job and...
Rock out.
Yeah, play rock and roll.
So in the fall of 15, we got started. And then it wasn't until... Oh, man. I'm trying to think of my timelines here. We recorded two songs in late 16 and early 17.
Mm-hmm.
They were finished in late 16, but they were released in early 17. And that was the one song with Trevor and this one song that we called Oak. It was real heavy. We did a video for it in a rock quarry, a local quarry, which was pretty cool playing in a rock quarry.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the spring of 18, we released our first EP, The Progression of Aggression.
Right.
And in between all that, we were playing shows. We got to play with bands like CKY, New Year's Day.
That's right, yeah.
Bisto Blanco.
You guys really did come out
Saul,
swinging. Yeah. But it was pretty fascinating from an outsider looking in, like, whoa, who is this band? Where did they come from? And why are they doing so great?
Yeah.
But, of course, I'll never forget the first time I heard your band. It was on, I believe, Bratcher.
Oh, cool, man.
Played it.
That's dope.
Because I listen to the local shows as much as time allows, really.
Sure, but I try to as well.
Yeah, man, when honestly, I'm free and available and the shows are on, I usually catch them. And I'm pretty sure the first time I heard the name Memory and the, one of the songs, it was on the radio.
Yeah.
And I was just immediately like, well, I can see why they're so busy.
Sure.
It's good stuff.
Hell yeah.
And then a lot of my friends were coming and seeing you guys. And,
yeah.
Oh, my God, have you seen them? Yeah, they're really good. They're heavy. You'd love it.
Nice.
And so I can't remember where the first time I saw you was. It may have been like the A-Frame.
That sounds right.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was
with
like,
Despite the Fallen,
yeah.
And Beyond Duplication.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was.
Was it that show?
That. I think so.
Yeah, because I designed the flyer for that show, man.
Okay.
That was a good show.
Yeah, and that's we'll get to that because you're into that field too.
Sure.
It was something I've spent most of my life in.
Right.
But the band took off.
Yeah.
Like, even though it was like a reconnected thing.
Well, I'd say it took off loosely.
Well, but you know.
Well, I mean, like, it was...
Over a course of just a few years,
sure.
You didn't rush things. It seemed like you took your time, you crafted it well, and when it was time to let it go, you did it right.
Right.
And you had all the right, way of putting it and packaging and promoting it.
Sure.
And it seemed like the
whole
thing...
It's hard, man.
It is hard, but if you're smart, you know what to do, and you all knew what you were doing. So.
Yeah.
But you... And we'll talk about Memory more.
Sure.
But you also, like me, are very much involved in graphic design.
Yep.
And you have something I don't have, which is the video thing. But you started your own company, 254 Productions.
That's it, yep.
And how long have you been doing that? And what even led you into that path of doing video?
Yeah, man. It's kind of... Not cheesy or cliche. I don't know. I guess it's cool to think about for me, and it's real sentimental. Like,
it's hard work.
Yeah,
and you do a really good job. Take pride in it.
Thanks, man. When I was in the Navy, I used to run a lot. I still run a lot. But whenever I run, I listen to my music, and all my favorite bands and stuff. And when I was in DC, I was running through the city, and I was listening to some of my favorite bands, and these visions were coming to my mind about just how I was relating to the song at that point in time and how, like, how cool it would be to be on stage, like, playing this exact song live if I was in that band.
Right.
So all these images of, like, playing live and cool imagery of, like, being in a video and, like, how hard I would headbang to this part and shit, you know, and, like, what I would want the camera doing on
me. But, like, yeah, you could visualize the storyboard aspect, of almost like a comic strip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You could see that in certain notes and parts and changes of the songs and all that stuff.
So I knew I wanted to do something with video or film, rather. I just didn't know quite
what. So you didn't learn that shit in, like, high school?
That's what I went to school for.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's at Western. I got my degree in film.
Oh, good.
My bachelor's of arts in
Fantastic.
Film. But film school, like, you don't need it. Like, don't get me wrong, it taught me a lot. But honestly, man, it comes from in your, like, this sounds kind of cheesy, but in your heart.
I know
and in
exactly
your mind,
what you're going
to
say.
Like, you have to feel it, man. So, yeah. Even though I graduated film school in spring of 17, but by spring of 17, I had already directed and assistant directed 8 or 9 music videos.
Wow.
And the first one we shot...
Great learning tool.
Yeah, the first one we shot was actually for Kiss Kiss Bang.
Right, you shot the one on top of the parking structure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was pissed off when I saw it because I was like, man, that was my idea.
You
I wanted
serious?
To make it. Which That's... I did end up shooting a section of one of my videos on the third level.
Oh, cool.
So there's a snippet in one of my videos where you can see that. But, like, you all were on the fifth floor, on the top, open sunlight and all that stuff. And it's just great. It's a great look.
It was a cool vibe.
It was a very cool vibe.
I approached Malcolm in Kiss Kiss Bang. He and I are still really good friends. I was like, he was pretty drunk at Dublin's. And they had just played a cover show there.
Right.
And I was like, look, man, I'm in film school. I would love to shoot a video for you guys. I won't charge you a damn thing because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. If it looks cool,
it was a
great.
Learning experience.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I was like, if it looks cool, great. If it sucks, well, we tried, you know? And he's like, okay. And we talked on the phone and got some logistics together and whatnot. And next thing you know, I'm playing a bowl for my Valentine right now. That's crazy. And Spencer's Coffee, what
Spencer's
the hell?
Spencer's is great. And by the way,
they're playing heavy.
We're at Spencer's Coffee House.
Yeah.
Can you tell? Grind them beans.
But yeah, so that was the first video. Turned out great, man.
That's for what it was. I didn't realize that was the first one.
Yeah.
Because I'll never forget when that came out.
Oh,
I was
that's
like,
cool,
whoa,
man.
This is cool, man. I mean, it was like an introduction to the production company. It was an introduction to Kiss Kiss Bang.
Yeah.
It was an introduction to, like, for me to discover you. I didn't realize that you were also the bass player of Memory.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was really, I don't know what you did, but there was this split thing that I didn't put two
I
and
try
two
to,
together.
I don't like marketing them together.
But you don't.
Yeah.
And so I had no idea. I kind of discovered that by accident, I think, one day. I was like, well, wait, you mean he's the same guy that does the video? I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I want the agenda of the production team to be visuals.
No, I get it.
And
I get it.
Agenda,
it is smart to separate them.
I don't know. That way there's just no weirdness about it, and I just
straight. I mean, they're not going to think, oh, well, he's in this band and all of his videos look like this.
Exactly.
That's what our video would look like, so I don't want that.
Right.
So, yeah, it is smart. So you're not the guy in that band.
I'm not.
I'm lying.
Yep.
That's your twin.
Shit. But no, man, it's...
So you just kind of wanted to do that, found a way to get into it, learned some stuff from it. And, I mean, I've talked to a few people that went to film school at Western.
Oh, cool.
So I know there's, like, there's something up there, but it doesn't seem to be as broadcast out as much as other things, you know?
Right.
Or the school doesn't seem to be as known for that field.
It's not.
But there is.
It's growing,
all of it.
Though.
It's all there.
Yeah, it is.
Everything
growing.
You'd ever want to do is pretty much at Western.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great school. I had a blast there, man. It taught me a lot in the sense of, I guess, framing my shot.
Right.
You know, it's a very simple thing, but yet it's complex at the same time, and it matters. Like, it really matters on how to induce or invoke emotion into your shot.
Right.
That cutting to the rhythm, whether that is the action of your, you know, the character in your shot or the bandmate in your shot, et cetera, or the beat of the song, you know, cutting to that, you know.
Yeah. Editing is important.
Oh, yeah. It makes it flow, man. But yeah, so it was really cool about doing a video for them is it branched off. I got to do videos for Despite the Fallen.
Right. You did the one in the barn. Right?
For Despite? No, that was in
No, for Wolf Island Cosmonauts.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Moonlight.
Oh, wow. Everybody's got three names in their band name. All these three-name bands.
Kiss, Bang, Wolf Island Cosmonauts, Despite the Fallen.
Exactly.
Yeah, Memory's got three syllables. Memory.
They're all the same. All
right.
But no. I don't know why I was confusing that. You shot Stone.
Yeah, myself and Ryan Murphy.
Right. And that was done at the hospital in Scottsville.
Dude.
Is it really haunted?
It was, okay.
A little creepy?
It was creepy, man. So, like, this is a fun story. When we got there, it was the owner of the building, the hospital, the band, Despite the Fallen, and Ryan and myself in that whole property. I think it's torn down now or being renovated.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. But anyway, back then, they still had all the Halloween props in there for their Halloween tours.
Right. That was the
Haunted Hospital.
Haunted Hospital. I don't know why I was getting confused with the other one.
Yeah. But. Well, Ryan and I had to scope out locations to shoot some scenes. So the owner turned on the generators to power all like the electricity and whatnot, right?
I can't wait to hear what
it powered all the props that are motion censored.
Wonderful.
So like we're walking down creepy hallways, wet floors.
Yeah, it's a TB hospital, right?
Yeah, man.
So a lot of people fucking died there.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Not as big as Waverly Hills, big enough.
Sure. Quarter of the scale, if that.
Yeah.
But anyways, you'd walk by and you'd trigger a sensor and it'd be like one of those like blow air on your face, like you know, and you're like, Jesus. And then I walked in one room and it was totally black. And I had my phone flashlight. And this giant fake saw just went right in front of my face. And like, it tripped you out, man.
Great.
But we've ended up finding up some cool spots. And it honestly, when we finished that video, it was our best video. And honestly,
it's good.
It still holds up, man.
It still holds up. Yeah. It was a great video. Yeah.
And the song helped make the video good. It's a really good song of theirs.
But that's where I kept seeing 254 Productions.
Yeah.
And I saw it in Kiss Kiss Bang video on a location that I thought was a great location for a video. I see the video for Despite the Fallen, nasty, dilapidated hospital, graffiti on the walls, falling in concrete.
Yeah.
Perfect location for a video.
Man.
Can't beat that.
Yep.
And then you did the Wolf Island Cosmonauts video, which was on the second floor. I know all this stuff.
Yep.
It was on the second floor of a barn.
Yeah. Real clean looking barn.
Yeah. And Lucas was like nervous about climbing up to do this stuff.
Yes. He, because we had to like, how did we get up there? Because there was no hole to get up in it. It was kind of weird how it was laid out. So we had, there was an old refrigerator or freezer.
So you did like a dumbwaiter.
Yeah, so we had to like, we all like muscled it and moved it close to like the.
There's a lot of work that goes into this.
Yeah, and we all had to jump up there and help each other up. And then getting the bass cabinet up there and the guitar cabinet and the
drums. That's what I worry about. Yeah, fuck that shit. Yeah. Just leave it down and pretend like you're playing.
That was a cool video. And speaking of them, we're, you know, and we all know that Cody passed away. Mm-hmm. Was that a month ago now, roughly? Month and a half?
From where we're speaking, it's almost about 2 months.
Has it really?
Yeah.
I've been talking to the boys in Wolf Island, and we're actually doing a video.
Like a memorial thing for him?
Yeah, I don't want to give any way details.
No.
We're in the project of
Well, I don't know when this will air either, but that's good.
Yeah, it's going to be cool, man.
Man, you've done some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Just right out of the gate with this. And I know you do. I'm big into design and graphic stuff because that's what I do for a living. But I also went to school for it. I love making posters.
Yeah.
I love photography. I don't buy the equipment. I don't dive into it as hard as you do.
Sure.
But through my work, I have access to all that stuff.
Oh, cool.
You know, especially in the apparel industry and printing industry. So it's really cool that I can design something and just go to work and get copies made.
That's dope.
But I love that part. But I've always been like you, like a visual. I can see things. I do not dream at night. I think we all dream. Sure. It's what they say.
Yeah.
I do not wake up and go, oh, my God, I had this crazy dream. I don't wake up remembering dreams.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really good at daydreaming. I can envision things. Like when you said running, listening to music, you visually can see and build things in your mind. I do the exact same thing.
That's cool, man.
And when I shot a video for my last Captain Dean record, I did exactly what you were just describing.
Yeah.
But it was just me.
Yeah.
I was the director and the star, and it was weird because I had nobody to like hold the stuff. I had to do it all myself.
Funny.
But it worked out pretty good, and it kind of sent me in the direction of what you do, and I had a much bigger appreciation for what you do and what a lot of guys I've met do in that field. But you all actually invest into the equipment and put time and time into it. I don't.
Yeah.
I just think it's like a passing thing for me. It's like, oh, I got a great idea, and then I do it, and then I'm like, that was cool.
Yeah.
And I walk away. But I would rather trust someone like you to do that than me. I would rather just give you a storyboard or give you stick figures and here's my idea, make that come to life as best as you can. But from what I've seen, and I encourage anyone listening to this to look up 254 Productions. Do you have a channel on YouTube?
You know,
like for your company, or do you just recommend the bands that you've done stuff for?
I have a website.
Okay.
254productions.com.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah, and it's got all the
work .com.
There. Yeah. Yeah, I went to GoDaddy, actually, to buy that domain.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, so. Daddy. So you've mentioned those three bands. Who else have you done stuff for? Obviously, your own band, Memory, has had some
stuff
done.
Kissing Spang, Despite, Wolf Island, Memory, Beyond Duplication.
All right. Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Japanese Schoolgirls, Alan Witcher, a.k.a. The Vinci.
Yeah.
Local
Actually,
rapper.
He's changed it again. He's The Future.
Is it Leo the Rapper or The Future?
I'm pretty sure Leo Rapper is The Future now.
Is it?
I don't know.
Well, he's doing his thing.
I just know the name the Da Vinci is no longer what I saw, like the most recent thing I saw, but maybe I'm wrong.
So that was...
Maybe he's got a twin.
That's eight different artists.
Okay.
If there's any more, I don't think there's any more. If so...
No, I think that's about right, because I see you advertise all of it.
One more. Rocket to Rehab. That was the... Did you ever see that video?
I don't think so.
Look it up later. It's the longest one I've done. It's 8 minutes.
Okay.
But it turned out really cool, man. So yeah, eight or nine different bands, artists, and collectively I think I've done 13 or 14 videos. Myself, Ryan Murphy, and then what's really cool, my girlfriend, Lily Estella, she has helped me with the last two.
Cool.
And she does a great job, too.
There you go.
So it's kind of It's cool to have, like, a good team.
Oh, yeah.
It takes, like...
Oh, it does.
It takes the stress off, man.
Dude, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Like, I did that one alone. I don't want to do that again.
The most... I guess the one... The two that have been the most... What am I trying to say right now? I don't want to say the hardest, but, like, the most, like, production involved have been the two recent ones, and that's been... Kiss Kiss Bang's Hearts on Fire.
Oh, yeah.
We filmed that. Those live.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of backstage footage and stuff like that.
It's Manchester Music Hall and then the Cowan in Nashville.
Cowan, yeah.
They were opening for Buck Cherry. And then we did the Rockets of Rehab out in Summershade, Kentucky, which is like an hour and a half from here. But we had a full storyboard lined up of like an actual story to follow.
Great.
So having them help me on those, man, and especially the editing process, like, I mean, makes it way easier.
Oh, yeah. So anyone that obviously needs to see your work and can look up what you've done and contact you if they're interested in getting anything done, just go to 254productions.com.
Yep, that's it, man.
And all your contact info is there.
Yep, there's just contact is my email, and it's listed under there. So like, if you're interested, just shoot me an email.
Do you have a 10% off coupon at the bottom of the screen for everybody to print off?
No, I don't make enough money on those videos. I ain't giving no damn discounts.
Well, that's really cool, man. And when my band's first album is done,
dude.
I think I know who to go to.
Dude, let's do it,
to look into getting a video.
We'll make
made.
Something cool, man. I'm serious.
I would really like that.
Yeah, be fun.
So going back again to, I'm glad we got to touch on that because you do have this two thing of involvement in this music scene, and that's a big one to have because it's not like there's a lot of guys around here that are like, "Hey, local bands, you want to make a music video?"
Right.
We don't have a lot of that. So thank you for what you do and for being passionate about it.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were talking about before we went into that, is memory
yep.
comes out of the ashes of a band that you had
in high school
in a way
yep.
called In Vain.
Right. Yep.
And memory comes out, and you've kind of already described how it came together and what you did.
Sure.
And again, it was only just a few years ago.
Yeah.
But you guys, you didn't pound too hard, but you did. I think you were probably as busy as you wanted to be.
Yes, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah. So, but you did a lot of good stuff. You worked with a lot of great bands, and you played all the great venues around here, and
absolutely.
You did some regional stuff as well.
Terry Harper Presents in Louisville.
Of course.
He's
the dude.
Yeah, he's gotten us on some cool shows, which we're very appreciative. But, yeah, man, so about memory again. So the first EP came out in the spring of 18.
Mm-hmm.
It was called A Progression of Aggression, 6 songs. We released one single off of that, The Payoff. That was directed by a good film buddy of mine, Joel Davis. He works with Aperture Visuals in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
We went to film school together. So we finished that, did some shows off of that. And then coming through fall of 18 and winter of 18, we meet this guy named Will Cunningham.
Yeah.
And so he started singing with us as well. So Jay was screaming, singing, Will was singing. We recorded 2 singles, and the next single released was I Dropped Acid with Jerry Garcia.
Yes.
That was in...
which came with a really cool poster.
Yeah, it was sick, man. The guy that drew that, he's an Instagram... Well, he's not an Instagram artist, but he's on Instagram.
Right.
That's how we found him.
Big
but
following.
He actually lives in, like, I think North Carolina or South Carolina, or maybe one of the Virginias. I don't know. But we came across him, got him to design us some artwork.
Mm-hmm.
We released that single, played a couple shows off of that.
One of which I got to open for you
right.
guys.
And
we were very thankful
time,
for that.
We picked up Trey Lyon, a rhythm guitarist for the band. So that was in the summer of this year.
Yep.
We completed all that. But things started to get a little rocky in the band. Jay is no longer with us due to personal reasons. And then Anthony, our drummer, he's no longer with us due to personal reasons. So it's myself, Will, and Trey now.
Okay. But you're still moving forward.
Oh, absolutely.
Under the name Memory, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we wanted to keep... We had a long talk about that, what to do and what not, and everybody agreed to stay with Memory.
I would keep it because being that it was like you did a lot in a short amount of time,
right.
but it's still new enough that there's still an audience to be found.
Yeah. And no one member defines a name, you know. It's not like we're like Breaking Benjamin and Ben Burley is like writing all our hits and writing
right.
all our like, vocals. It's not like that. Or
right.
like Caleb Shomo and Beartooth. It's not like that, you
right.
know. Where we all equally contribute. So anyway, we just recorded 2 songs 4 days ago, last Sunday.
There you go.
We're super stoked about those.
So just kind of not necessarily starting over, but just picking up where you stand and moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't want to say starting over because we're not, but we also are
just
assessing ourselves
right,
where we are.
Right.
And we're just going full throttle,
I've been through it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know publicly what I went through.
Right.
But don't give up.
Right.
And just move forward.
Exactly, man.
That's all you can do because you can't allow anything like that to define you
exactly.
or take away your goals
right.
and the things that you want to do. But you know, it's hard to do it alone.
Sure.
That's the hard part I learned. But if you got a good team, you got some good stuff in the...
Will and Trey are great, man.
Yeah. If it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
And go with it.
We're
positive.
We are looking for a drummer. So if anybody is listening out there,
I know a drummer.
Yeah, there you go.
But he's playing bass right now.
You know, send him our way, man. We'll be trying to make some contact.
There's a lot of drummers in this town, man, but they're not. The hardworking ones, I think, are hard to find.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. And I might be a little bit out of touch on the generations and stuff,
right,
but
right.
you never know.
Yeah, I mean, we're not stressing
about
it, man.
Like I told you before we started rolling,
yeah.
if it's meant to be,
exactly.
it'll happen.
And that's why
you're not gonna
we're still recording.
Overkill it and push it. Yeah. But you're at least going to get the word out. Let it be known that it's out there and you all are looking to move forward as an actual band. Yep. But don't overkill it and hire just the first person that walks in the door. You know?
Man, we're not going to do that. Not unless it's just works
magic.
Well. Yeah. Yeah, we don't. We were talking the other day, man. We don't have a lot to lose,
right?
But we have a lot to prove.
Yep.
So with that, it's going to take time. We are aware, but we're just going to make sure we make every decision we can that's smart and effective, and just to kind of, you know, we're not expecting to make leaps and bounds anytime soon. No, we just want to kind of
do
keep
what
you, inching.
You're
going to
do whatever just you feel is right,
exactly,
and just have fun making music.
Yep.
But luckily for you, you've got this amazing ability to do both worlds.
Yeah.
And your love and passion for music and this music scene is obviously a very important thing.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like, not only are we working on this new material with Memory, we have a video shoot coming up with Wolf Island, and a video shoot coming up with Mundane Nation.
Yep. And hopefully El Astronauta will be on the list.
It'd be sick.
We're going to make that happen.
Yeah.
But that's good. Yep. And I'm proud of you. Yep. I'm proud of you for what you've done. And I'm proud of you for sticking to it and knowing that you're not going to just fold.
It's cool to see the reaction. Like, my favorite thing about doing videos, honestly, man, it's... I love the reactions of people. I love seeing like the comments and the shares and the, you know, the direct face-to-face comments of like, dude, that was cool, man.
Well, it's like, it goes for me. It goes back to being a kid.
Yeah,
you would watch those things and be like, oh, I want to do that.
Exactly.
Not necessarily be the director behind the camera, but to be the band that's up there having a blast, you know, and just having a good time, and so. Why wouldn't you do that, you know?
Yes, no, that's exactly it, man. Exactly it.
Yeah. Well, you're doing a good thing, and you've done a lot of good things for this music scene.
Hell yeah.
Not only as a musician and a performer involved in it, but on the other end of things in the production side and the video work and obviously the graphic stuff. I mean, the show that we did with you guys, you made a flyer.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
Thanks, man. That's hard to do,
it's
dude.
Not easy. But,
actually,
I mean, if you have a vision, you just kind of do your best with what you got.
Lily actually did that one, my girlfriend.
Oh, good.
I forgot. It was
very
under,
good.
Like, we all kind of had a creative hand in it.
Yeah.
But it was her mainly.
It was just a cool layout and the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was cool. I'm a big fan of that stuff.
I love posters. And I think cool posters, like... Man, if they're cool, it's going to bring people to come and check it out, man.
Right.
You know, if they're well done.
Oh, yeah,
you
of
know
course.
What I'm saying? And if that brings an extra five,
that's the
10,
old school way of doing it, though. And that should never go away.
Nah, dude.
You can make a flyer and it goes on Facebook, but I make flyers and print them. And I'll hang them up on every bulletin board and every window in this town because that's who I am. That's the generation I come from.
Speaking of old school, you know, we are, like I've mentioned a few times, searching for a drummer now. And I've hung 4, maybe 5 flyers around town. 2 on campus, 1 here at Spencer's, 1 at Kentucky Music, 1 at Royal Music.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Music and Arts.
Yeah,
I noticed the sign came down. I was like, oh, man. That's
so it's
a
not Royal
punch
music
in childhood. No, Royal Music is no longer. They were bought out not that long ago. It's by Guitar Center. It's Guitar Center's band division. They have them all over the country, but
so does this
mean
it's
called
have
Music
more
and
of,
Arts.
Inventory, maybe? Is that, or do you think they'll have more inventory there or no?
It'll basically remain the same as what Royal Music was.
Sure.
They just took out a lot of the bulk of stuff, and they're just kind of more cut and dry of what they know the
what
core
sells.
Customers in this town would go in there to get.
Exactly.
So there's no point in carrying 50 different brands of tambourines when this LP model sells the most.
Sure.
So it's just one of those things. But yeah, it's so sad that to report on a local music podcast that Royal Music, after almost like 70 years of it,
they used
Bowling
to be
Green,
right here on the square.
Oh,
they?
Dude, when I was I grew up in that store.
Yeah.
But it has been a part of Bowling Green for like 70 something years.
Yeah.
And it has officially changed to not only corporate hands, but the name is now Music and Arts. And I drove by it I want to say it was last week I drove down Fairview Avenue and noticed that the sign had been removed from the building, and it now says Music and Arts.
Damn. What a shame.
It is a damn shame. But, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It was hard.
Yeah.
Like, the day I found out they had been bought by Guitar Center and all of this change was going on, I went in there. I went by there after work just to, like, almost say my goodbyes. You know, it's like, because, I mean, when I was a kid, that was where I bought my first pair of drumsticks.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. You know, that's where my first, like, guitar picks and strings came from. And
see, for me, it was Kentucky Music, though.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. But, like, I grew up in the era of Royal Music. We had DB's Music.
Yeah.
We had Fairview Music, which was the Borders family.
Uh-huh.
Do you know where the old Kmart was?
Yeah.
It's Ace Hardware and the church now. That's where it was Forest Borders, but it was Fairview Avenue or Fairview Music or something like
dope.
That. Our town had a lot of music stores.
That's cool, man.
Back in the 80s. Yeah. It was really awesome. It's like we had more music stores than we had clubs.
That's dope.
At one point.
It's like, a good scene to have.
It's a really weird thing to have. But it was cool. But that is part of Bowling Green music history.
That's cool,
and
man.
You are a part of that history now.
It's cool, man.
So
it's
congratulations.
Dope. Thanks, man.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Yep, I'm gonna
and
try.
Don't ever give up.
Nah, man.
And just move forward, man. I think you're doing great stuff.
Appreciate
musically
that.
And behind the camera.
Visually.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know. I'm not good at words.
No,
before I wrap these up, I usually like to ask this cliche question.
Sure, man.
As a Bowling Green music scene, and you being a native, this is nice because I don't normally meet people that are like me, born and raised here.
Sure.
So you are to the bone
of
this music scene. You've been in it pretty much your whole life, aside from moving away and being in the Navy and everything.
Right.
Who are some of your favorite bands?
Here? Locally?
Yeah. Okay. And what has influenced you locally all these years growing up and everything? And to today, which obviously, again, you've touched on your friends, and obviously your friends and your fans of these bands, Kiss Kiss Bang, Wolf Island Cosmos.
Sure.
That's hard to deny. You can't deny it.
I would say...
Anything outside of all those?
My favorite band is Memory. I know that's kind of... I'm not trying to be, like,
that's
cocky.
That's so cliche.
It is, but it's just true. Like, I am...
No, I get
you know,
it.
However... Aside from that, I'm going to say Kiss Kiss Bang. Malcolm was my roommate for a year and a half.
That's cool.
Trevor stayed on my couch for like 2 months. They wrote their first album and the majority of their first album and the majority of their latest EP, Hearts on Fire, in the basement.
Oh, that was your basement.
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
So there's a lot of history in that basement. And I really admire, like, I feel like I'm kissing Malcolm's ass right now, but I just got to be honest, his work ethic in his band.
No, I get it.
I mean, he's taking that band to the level of, or the next level when it comes to the management skills and making contacts. Like, everything I know about managing a band, making contacts, emailing venues, you know, all the travel, et cetera, planning, I've learned from him.
Yep.
Because
he's
asked him.
He's a natural gift with it, too. He gets it.
So they're definitely my influence, and that's honestly, man, like, I'm definitely a competitive person, but I'm not out to be competitive to, like, destroy. I'm, like, I just like a healthy, creative.
Competitive, but
in a
grab your friends and bring them along, too, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I see they're doing well, so that inspires me, like, hey, man,
yeah.
I gotta do this shit, too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But as far as like a...
Yeah, don't ever lose that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think
sure.
a lot of us don't have that when we're younger.
Right.
Thankfully, you did.
Sure.
So, good for you.
Thanks, man. But, yeah, man, just from the low, I don't know, man, like, we're definitely a hard rock, heavy band.
Oh, yeah.
So, what inspires me, too, man, is, like, obviously, we all know Bowling Green is that big indie scene, you know, because Cage the Elephant and stuff, which you gotta respect. But, not to my knowledge, no band is launched out of here in Bowling Green as a hard rock heavy metal band, like really successfully. And I know
there's been a lot that did something, but to be icons,
right?
And, you know, win Grammys and stuff.
It's
I mean, no.
So I guess
I mean, obviously
I take,
the Headhunters and Blackstone Cherry and Cage the Elephant are like the big three,
right? Right.
There's been a lot of other great things that have come from here,
right?
obviously Morning Teleportation was a big deal, but more of like an underground
indie, they were
alternative indie,
indie
thing. Yeah,
but yeah,
they
I
did
guess
great things. I mean,
sure, but I guess I'm just thinking of what inspires me is just I want to be a hard freaking rocking band.
Yeah,
that's just bouncing out of a scene.
And you
that,
are.
That's coming out of a scene that's not supported from that. You know what I'm saying? We are supported, but at the same time, we're not. You know?
No, I get it.
You know?
Believe me, I do.
So, like, I don't know. That's just what I want to represent. So, that's what inspires
well,
me, man.
You're doing good.
Yeah, dude.
And don't lose that that drive and the vision, because why? Yeah, why let go?
Right. Try not to.
Own it.
Good times, man.
Anything, like, growing up as a kid, catch your... For brain like anything like locally like before you were in bands and stuff
no,
did you
dude.
Know of any of the bands
no
the
shit
no?
Honestly I was very like I wasn't like don't get me wrong I was into music as in middle school and high school clearly we've had that talk but
you didn't hear about
I
any
mean,
of like what was playing out in the club circuit around here
zero
that's interesting
yeah it was straight only thing I knew what was going on in our garage
that's yeah
yeah honestly man
that's not a bad thing. While we were doing this interview lately, Ivory Picture Story was standing in here getting coffee. So,
oh, is that who that is?
That's who that is.
Oh, cool.
I'm supposed to interview Dakota at some point, but
oh, nice.
It's very cool. I didn't want to like interrupt your interview
sure,
and be
sure.
like, oh, my God, there's another band. But
yeah.
Ivory Picture Story, the entire band was standing right here next to us while we've been talking for the last 10 minutes.
Nice.
They're a great band. They're super awesome. They're super fun.
That's cool.
I just saw them last weekend in Cave City at the Dive.
Oh, yeah?
And they put on a hell of a show.
That's dope.
And when El Astronauta made our like official debut, was on television with WNKY 40
yeah.
for the scene. And they were there the same day doing their taping. And that's how we met them.
Nice.
And they're just one of those... cool bands, you know,
that's
like
dope,
I
man.
Love what they're doing. So I just wanted to give a shout out to them real quick while we're in while
times.
That was happening. That was real. That really happened. But Brandon, I think we're about done. Is there
that's
anything
it,
I've missed or forgot to ask? Or I think we got about covered today.
I think we have, man.
It's your Polaroid.
Yep. I think we're good.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for meeting me here at the beautiful Spencer's Coffee House.
One of the best.
And keep doing what you're doing, man.
Will do, man.
Don't look back. Just move forward.
Eyes on target. Let's do it.
Bye.
All right. See you guys.